Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What is up, everyone? It is Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. I am currently flying solo. We will be joined later on by the Shep. He will be here eventually, or so I hope. JPJ may make an appearance, and speaking of JPJ, he is part of the Main Event Wrestling Network. We are so excited to be a part of such an amazing network of individuals. They've got all sorts of different shows. Go search them up on all social media, Main Event Wrestling Network, and tell them KOP sent you. All right, so let's get caught up on some comments here because, well, you know, you guys were on time. I was not running behind. I'd love to say technical difficulties, but, you know, some people don't want to show up. Some people are running late. It all depends. So Stephen Chambers is in the chat saying howdy, howdy. And he hopes everyone is staying safe from the winter storm. Yeah, I think last check we had right around 8 inches of snow where I'm at. Steffi's here as well, says she is safe and warm. Steven says it's literally like an ice rink. Yeah, and there are spots it is. Majin, checking in as well, says that he'd feel bad for us getting what we're getting, but he's already had a crazy blizzard earlier this year. Earlier this year is in earlier in 2026, because, you know, we're only 25 days into 2026. Or are you talking earlier this winter, Majin? I need to know. Steffi says she missed the snow because she's up in Chicago. So, yeah, you did get away with it. And Majin's wanting to do a giant KOP shinny game. All right. So he says, pick two captains and choose teams. Ooh. So let's see, Majin. Who are your captains? I got to know. I got to know. JPJ, hey, there he is. Currently sitting at 14 inches of snow. Wow. With another potential foot to go. The best thing to come out of Boston right there, JPJ. We love JPJ here at Kicking Out Pod. And, of course, Main Event Wrestling Network loves him as well. Majin, where is our champ? Well, he's down and out because, you know, JPJ's team kind of demolished the Broncos. So no Tanner tonight, as he sits on his couch weeping over the loss that he has. But yes, JPJ says it's a great day to see the New England Patriots make it to the Super Bowl. And for the captains for the shinny game, if I had to pick, I'd go Paul and JPJ. We need two KOP or KOP adjacent guys. All right. I like it. I like it. Yeah, Steven Tanner is crying the Bronco blues. Ah. Potato Chips 1122, where's Angry Shep? He is on his way. He's having some difficulties over his way, so he said he'd be about 20 minutes late. So we could see him within the next 5 or 10 minutes, but we'll see what happens. And JPJ, if you're still watching, check your email. You should have an email from me if you want to jump on and join the podcast live instead of just in the comments. It's all up to you, JPJ. West Egano says, so it's really down to Seattle Brian Danielson's versus the New England El Grande Americanos. Ah, yes. Yes. Eric Douglas says, hey, everyone, how you doing? Hope you're having a great night. Hope you're staying safe. Steven says, been a good game so far. Seahawks versus Rams. I'm not following that, Steven. So who's up right now? Give me the rundown of how that game's going. I'm interested to see. But we are here to talk AEW wrestling. At least in some aspects of talk, that is. So, all right. Steven says 24-20 Seahawks. All right. Well, looks like it could be Seattle versus New England. This could be fun. Could be fun. Steven says it's in the third quarter. So there is that. All right. I tried to kick this off last week with notable events that happened on this day in history in ROH and AEW, but we went down a bunch of rabbit holes and we were like 50 minutes in before we ever got to the history. So we're going to dive right into it today before I get interrupted and sent down a rabbit hole. With some things that happened on this date in AEW and ROH history. But first, I want to talk about some birthdays. The reigning defending TBS champion Willow Nightingale celebrates a birthday today. Had we not lost him, Jay Briscoe would have been celebrating a birthday today as well. And a Welsh wrestler known for ROH and indie work and has previously appeared in AEW, NXT UK, or WWE, not AEW, WWE, NXT UK, things like that. Mark Andrews celebrates a birthday today as well. So let's dive into some stuff that has happened. January 25th, 2023, from the Roop Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, AEW has a very special Dynamite as Mark Briscoe made his in-ring debut facing Jay Lethal in a tribute match honoring his late brother, Jay Briscoe. Darby Allin successfully defended the TNT Championship against Buddy Matthews. Ruby Soho defeated Tony Storm, and Bryan Danielson defeated Brian Cage. Jump ahead to January 25th, 2024. We've got ROH Wrestling. The Righteous defeated Anya and Kamaru Jackson. Nyla Rose scored a win over Lainey Luck. Zack Knight defeated Aaron Solo. Everybody defeats Aaron Solo. Cole Carter and Griff Garrison picked up a victory. All right, we're 9 minutes into it, so I'll ask, who the fuck is Griff Garrison? Blake Christian and Willie Mack beat the Outrunners. Red Velvet, Billy Starks, Ethan Page, Abaddon, and Rocky Romero all won their respective bouts. And we saw an ROH World Tag Team Championship Proving Ground match as we saw the Undisputed Kingdom retain against Gravity and Gringo Loco. In 2025, we had an episode of Collision Homecoming from Daly's Place in Jacksonville. Samoa Joe made his return and defeated Nick Wayne. Takeshita retained the AEW International Championship against Shibata. Deanna Purrazzo, Queen Aminata, Serena Deeb competed in a number one contender battle for the TBS title. Brody King and Buddy Matthews clashed with Gates of Agony in tag team action. Also on this date in 2025, there was an ROH taping where we saw Sammy Guevara defeating Mansoor. Athena won a Proving Ground match versus Carlina Cruz for the ROH Women's World Championship. Red Velvet retained the ROH Women's TV Championship over Robin Renegade. Griff Garrison and Preston Vance back in tack action again. And Lee Johnson defeated John Davis. So there we have it. Some what happened on this day in history. All right. So let's get caught up on. There we go. Majin gets me. Who the fuck is Griff Garrison? Seriously. I think that's the only thing Dark Order still has going for them is they're still running with that. I saw a promo from them not too long ago for ROH stuff, and Griff Garrison was brought up. So was Preston Vance. They called Preston Vance a traitor, and then Johnny Hungy asked, who the fuck is Griff Garrison? As we get caught up on some comments from while I was reading what happened on this day in history. You hear the official news. Evil confirmed he's leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling once his contract is up on Saturday. He's WWE bound. Majin says Evil doesn't seem like a fit for WWE, though. Only reason Evil going to WWE because of his wife, Io. Fair enough. And yes, Majin, it is a shame that Jay never got to work on AEW television. I think we talk about that every single week if we talk about the Briscoes. Majin, even you have defeated Aaron Solo. I've defeated Aaron Solo. A paperweight has defeated Aaron Solo. A piece of paper has defeated Aaron Solo. And let's not forget his ex-girlfriend has defeated him as well. Steffi says Jay being on AEW television would have been something to see. Speaking of WWE, you see what they came up with for a ring name for Hobbs. Yeah. Look, at least it's not Big H or just Will. Those were some things I was concerned about. Or Big Will. I was afraid that one was going to be one, too, was Big Will. I don't know if I could deal with that. It's Royce Keys, I think, is what it was. Correct me if I'm wrong, Majin, but yes, it is a turd sandwich of a ring name. If they called him Big Will, his finish would just be the Big Willie style. You're right. Royce Keys, Royce being the name of his youngest son, but yeah, it's going to be awkward to come off. Yes, it is. Westigon gets it. Driving a Rolls Royce. All right, look, if they can get him in a Rolls Royce for his first, you know, vignette or whatever, that would be fine. But I mean, Royce Keys. I know they say they're not one to play the race card, but I know it's his son's name, but Royce Keys just seems very stereotypical in a sense. I don't know if it truly is. Maybe it's all just speculation and they're going to call him Big Willie style after all. I don't know. But yeah, Rolls Royce, Royce Keys. I read the comment that said Rolls Royce as I was trying to talk. Can't do that. Royce Keyes is Powerhouse Hobbs's WWE name, or at least that's what the claim is at this time. So best of luck to him over there. I mean, Kevin Owens pulled it off using his son's name. Maybe Hobbs can too. At least we hope. Majin says, I know Sean will use him well. Wonder how it'll be when he gets to the main roster. Hopefully he does what Adam Cole did and says, I don't want to go to the main roster. I want to stay on NXT because I think Sean will be able to use him better than H would or anybody else on the main roster. Yeah, I saw some speculation about putting Keys in NXT as Starks' bodyguard. The only thing that worries me about him coming in as a bodyguard is that's what they did with Big E. Big E got overlooked, and I don't know. I think him being a bodyguard would be a bad thing for him. Westigon, it's less the name that's going to be a problem and more of his push on the main roster since Obafemi is going to be the main project going into 2026. Yeah, that's why I think NXT is the best fit for him because if he goes straight to the main roster like they say or have hinted at him doing, he's going to get lost in the shuffle. I think with Oba heading to the main roster, that leaves this big opening for a big powerhouse, no pun intended, on NXT. And I think that Hobbs would be perfect for that. So, Brandon James says, you watch Collision, Andrade going for AEW championship. Yes, we haven't gotten there yet, but we are going to get to Dynamite and Collision as well. Majin says NXT has lost a few talents lately. They're going to need to replace them. And I think that's what Hobbs will be good for. Bringing Hobbs in on NXT would be, like I said, the perfect fit for him. Sorry, doing research as I talk. Steffi, can I say something? Sure, you can say whatever you want, Steffi. That's the joy of KOP. We allow you to say anything you want as long as Majin behaves himself. Steven Chambers got another big dude at NXT about same size as Keys. And no, we haven't even started Dynamite yet, Majin. That's because I am hoping that the Shep joins us at some point. So I'm kind of trying to drag my feet a little bit here. But I guess at some point we're going to have to talk about Dynamite. And yes, Steffi, TNA still sucks. I will agree with you. But looks like Majin's going to curse you, Steffi Housen, because he says you say something and I'll curse you. And you did. And he even presumed the pose or assumed the pose. I can't talk. Yes, Steffi, I agree. TNA dropped the ball last week. They dropped it this week. All I did this week was watch highlights. And I couldn't find anything that I enjoyed off of the highlights. Yeah, they're trying to still be WWE. They're not doing the same thing, or they're not doing their own thing. They're trying to do the same thing as somebody else, and that never works out. They have a lot of talent. They didn't need to bring in some of the names that they just brought in. They could have taken the talent that they had and created this huge, amazing, must-see television show. Now, mind you, some of it I'll give them another chance after they get this visa stuff figured out, because they've had a lot of issues with visas here lately. Once that's figured out, it better get better. If not, I don't know. I don't know. We all think Macklin is going to AEW when his deal is up, right? I mean, Majin, of the places to go, AEW is a good fit. Yeah, Majin says TNA, they're the number two company, or so WWE would want you to believe. Remember, WWE thinks AEW is just a pissant t-shirt company. All right. So, and where's Havoc? Is she even in TNA? I don't know. Majin, do your homework. Answer that for me. I don't want to look it up. Macklin's wife is also in ROH AEW too, so it would make more sense to go. And that's answering Steven's response to Majin's question about Macklin going to AEW. And Steven says, matter of time, WWE going to buy TNA. Yeah. They're not going to buy AEW and ROH, though. That's the plus. No buying ROH and AEW for WWE. They wanted to, I'm sure, but it ain't happening now. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to Google something real quick. All right. So we are quickly approaching or have surpassed. And I say this for one reason, because if you think back to, as we're talking about buying things, if you think back to the AEW debut, when Billy Gunn announced that he was going to AEW, but got to come back and do the Hall of Fame ceremony with DX, Triple H called it a pissant t-shirt company. Billy Gunn didn't really say much. And there was a lot of rumors and speculations. You just wait. AEW is never going to outlast WCW. They're doing exactly what WCW did, and they're going to go under, and WWE is going to buy up AEW. Just give it 4 years. I think we've surpassed that. AEW has now been around as long, if not longer, than WCW. So there's that. We're on year six now. Yes, we are. So, I mean, like I said, it's just a matter of time. AEW is going to outlast WCW, and then WWE is going to have to figure out something else to do, because they can't just keep living off of this. It's not going to last longer than WCW. It'll die out. People will stop going. Yes, Cornette, Bischoff, Coachman, Pritchard, very anti-AEW. Bischoff is anti-AEW for the simple fact that they brought him in, never offered him a contract, and then dropped him like a bad habit. Just my opinion, though. All right, so we've talked Hobbs, we've talked on this day in history, we've talked being on to year six now, we talked TNA, probably spent more time on TNA than we should have. So let's talk about AEW Dynamite, aired Wednesday, January 21st, 2026. Majin, well, then you're responsible for the implosion of two different companies. Why should you get a contract? Very true. Very true. Meaning Bischoff there. But yeah, I look, no comment. Dynamite. Kenny Omega defeated Josh Alexander in a competitive main event match as part of his AEW World Championship push. Look, I love having Kenny Omega on my TV. He is one of the reasons that I used to watch BTE. Always enjoyed Kenny Omega. I was so glad when he finally got to join AEW. You know, his contract was the last of the contracts to expire, so he was the last to join. So I am always going to say Kenny is back, because Kenny never left, in my opinion, except, you know, for injury that he couldn't help. And no, Majin, there is no but coming. Kenny Omega is the best bout machine. Kenny Omega is him. There you go. No but. Stephen Chambers says it was a good match. The one I want to talk about, not because it was the best match on the show or anything like that, but let's talk about Megan Bain and Penelope Ford defeating Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa. This match. This was an interesting match. I still wonder how Joey Janela handles it. I'm sure, never mind. Majin probably can come up with how Joey handles it, and then Steffi will spray him with a water bottle. But my problem with this is there was a few botches in this match. One that really sticks out to me was when Megan threw Mina over the top rope, was supposed to land on Toni, completely missed Toni. Toni broke character to make sure she was okay. And in all fairness, I even text the KOP co-hosts, who aren't here this week because I'm the workhorse of KOP. If I'm Penelope, when it comes to the spot of getting thrown, no. I'm looking at Megan and saying, nope. Sorry, we're not doing that. We can do it another time, but nope, not tonight. We are not launching me over the top rope into anybody tonight. Let's see here as we catch up on some comments. Kenny is healthy again. He seems back to 100% or near it finally. Yes. Steffi says, please, no more curses on Kenny Omega. I agree. Majin, is it just me, or have the Timeless Love Bombs been losing credibility every week? It's not just you, Majin. It's not just you. I thought it was a bad thing to put those two together to begin with. But they did it. I'm waiting. There's got to be more to this story with these two. One of them's got to turn on the other one at some point, at least in my opinion. It's the only way pairing these two up makes sense. You have Toni drop the women's world title to go into a tag team. You don't even put the straps on them. And you expect them to just kind of be there. I mean, Toni's earned her spot. Toni can gladly and easily put over anybody and everybody if she wanted to and still be just perfectly fine for the rest of her career. But I don't think it's fair to Toni. I think Toni deserves better. And Majin, I'm not saying it was not putting the straps on him was the wrong choice. I agree it is the right choice because it sets up for something between Mina and Tony at some point, whether it be Tony turning on Mina or, like Steven says, really wouldn't mind Mina as a heel. There we go. Mina turns on Tony because Tony blames Mina for them losing all the time. And voila, you got a nice story coming out of this in a singles bout for those two. Majin also says that spot looks like it was on Tony. To be honest, she didn't look ready for it. I agree, she didn't look ready for it. But I say, as Megan, she should have found something else to do. She should have looked, said, ooh, she's not ready. I can't continue this because I risk Mina's safety at that point. So take her from the press into a different move. At least temporarily hit her with a move, allow Tony to get up where she needs to be, and then launch her. One thing that drives me nuts is we've seen a lot of segments on AEW television here lately. And as you know, here on KOP, we're not just here to butter up AEW. We point out the wrongdoings of AEW and Tony Khan and the wrestlers. We're not just go AEW, best promotion ever. No, it has mistakes. We know there's mistakes and we try to point those mistakes out. But there have been a lot of people not being in the right spot at the right time here lately. I don't know if we need to go back to calling our matches better or how we need to do it. But we saw it in tag team action not too long ago where Bowens wasn't in the right spot. We've seen Tony not be in the right spot. We've just seen a lot of people. Those are just two, but it's been happening, in my opinion, a lot more here lately. And that does concern me. Majin says, can we also talk about how Chris Statlander has been losing credibility too? Yeah, I know. Look, I've been supporting Stat since she was an alien with the best friends, okay? I have pushed for Stat to be champion for years. And this is what they've done with her. Tekla's your next champion. I hate to say it, but when these two go one-on-one for the strap, you need to have Tekla take it off of her. I hate to say that because I think Stat should set records as a champion. But we're not going to see it. Majin says, I'm shocked Mina wasn't hurt. She bounced off the mat there, too. Yeah, I know. Steven, been some issues. Ref stopped the count before wrestlers late getting there. That's been happening in all promotions. That was a big issue on Saturday night's main event from WWE last night. I did not watch it, but I have heard there were at least two or three different spots during the women's tag match that the count was stopped prematurely. That technically Liv and Roxanne should have walked out of there with gold based off of Rhea not being in the right spot at the right time. But the ref, one, two, kick out. You can't do that. Let's see. Some other comments here. Majin, as we're talking about Stat, Majin's been pushing for her, but making her a hanger onto Willow and Harley isn't doing anything for her. I'd absolutely have Tekla win there too. The moment those two face each other. Steven says, unfortunately, Mercedes beaten Statlander, either Dynasty or Double or Nothing. But yet it wouldn't shock me for Tony Khan and everybody else in the back to go, ooh, we're not, Stat's not doing well. All right, let's throw it on Tekla. Stat isn't over as a champ as you think she would be too. Tekla is far and way more over woman and possibly better option for the title too. I agree. Steffi says, as we're talking about the Megan Bain Minu spot, case in point, there was a company back in the 90s where there was a spot that went horribly wrong. Someone actually had their neck broken. Now, look, it's professional wrestling. We all know there's possibility of injury. We know that. Anybody who gets into professional wrestling basically signs a little waiver that says, if something happens, I can't hold them solely responsible. It's on me. It's on the person I'm working in the ring with. But unfortunately, it does happen a lot. And we need to go back to a point where safety is our number one concern. Oh, I know those three letters. And there are some people who don't like those three letters, but I mean, when you know, what do you expect when you've got one guy who comes down and hits himself in the head with a beer can in that company for fun before the match starts? It's not a post-match celebration. It was to start his match. Majin says, regarding that long pinfall stuff, I hate that. One of the first things you're taught as a ref is to count the fall. If they forget to kick out, it's on them. And that is true. Look, I've been in the business. I have reffed one match. Only one. Just once. If they have a problem with it, tough shit. You forgot to do your job. That is exactly it. But the problem is, so many people hate on the refs because of messed up counts. Okay, look, I will say there are some refs who really get it, and there are refs who don't get it. Cody won his first Intercontinental title. At least I think it was his first, but he won. Excuse me. He won a title from Big Show in a tables match because Big Show stepped through a table. That was it. That wasn't even the finish. Big Show wasn't supposed to lose that match, but he lost his balance, stepped through the table. The table broke. It's a tables match. The ref called for the bell. That's how it goes. You can't ignore that. We've seen it in Royal Rumbles. John Cena and Batista, their feet both hit the ground at the same time. Two different refs called for the bell. We had to restart the match. People messed up their legs, running down, throwing a fit over that. Yes, his face when the table broke was hilarious because he knew he screwed up. But I mean, the size of Big Show, he lost his balance, and it was either I fall through the table to the side of the ring, or I just step down, and instinctively he just took a step. Steven, my beef also, wrestlers outside the ring brawling and ref not even counting in the ring. Yes, they're out. One, two, three. You start the count. It doesn't matter. You try to get them back in, you know, things like that. But there's a double count out for a reason. There's draws for a reason. You do it if you have to. If you get to nine and the refs or in the wrestlers aren't back in the ring, whether it be one of them or both of them, and they're supposed to be, oh, well, count 10, end of the day, you're done. Boom. Majin says, ah, yes, the scene of Batista being overshadowed by the double quad tear. You got to be a special kind of special to tear both your quads running to the ring. Anyway, AEW, we've talked two matches out of all of Dynamite. Let's see. Swerve Strickland picked up a big win over Kevin Knight, reinforcing his spot as a top contender. Samoa Joe scored a victory over Mike Bailey. I'm not 100% convinced that Mike didn't actually hurt himself at some point in that match. But can we give the man some credit for just fighting through it? I mean, he pulled the ref and him were talking. The ref went over and talked to Joe. Something definitely happened, whether it just be a Charlie horse, a small cramp, whatever. But something happened, and Mike Bailey fought through it, finished the match. Goes back to Buddy Matthews rolling his ankle the last time we saw him on AEW television. What are we going to name the trio of him, Speedball, and Hanger? Kevin Knight, that is. Not what Speedball wants to call it. No. Majin, you can vote for that all day long. I'm right there with Hangman. No way. And in all fairness, I don't think Speedball was supposed to fully get it out. I think Hanger kind of forgot to cut him off before he fully said what he said. Steven votes for Cowboy Speed. Interesting. There's a lot of things you could call him. Right place, right time. I mean, that could be a name for him, because you have other trios in the company. Why did you put the titles on these three? See, that's the better question. Why not the Bucks and Jungle Boy? There's a trio. We know they work well together. We've seen it. You know, why not somebody from the Don Callis family? There's trios there. Why did we pick Hanger, Kevin Knight, and Speedball Mike Bailey to be trios champs? My opinion, right place, right time, and because of Hangman Adam Page. This way you get gold on Hangman without it having to be world heavyweight, because you've got enough people going for the trios title or the world heavyweight title. Nobody's talking about the trios titles. Now people are going to talk about the trios titles again because they all want to say horse cock. There, Majin, I said it. Everybody wants to say that now. So, of course, they're going to talk about the trios titles again. We had a violent street fight where the Death Riders picked up the victory over the Don Callis family. FTR beat Alex Price and Jordan Oliver. And can we talk about how good Price and Oliver looked in this match? Remember, this was their debut AEW match. And they came out, took on the champs, took on one of the best tag teams of the modern era. Not the best, Majin. I'm not going to go Shep's route and say these boys are the best ever, because there are better teams than FTR, but FTR is one of the better teams in AEW at this time. But they looked phenomenal against FTR. For a group of indie guys to come in and do that is phenomenal. And they were signed after the show, as they should be. Just saying. So a lot of good things happening on Dynamite this week. Lots of backstage segments. Tekla continuing to look like a star. Julia Hart looking good. We need to get Sky Blue to loosen back up. She was doing really good. And then she went out on injury or whatever it was that kept her off of TV for a while. And now she just seems very robotic in all the lines she delivers. We are the Triangle of Madness. Huh? Why? Why do you challenge us? What happened? All right. You can go back on the Kicking Out Podcast YouTube channel, and you can find an interview that I did with Sky Blue. Very easy flowing interview. Very well done. And now she's getting more robotic. Steffi, control Majin. Majin's getting excited by Tekla spitting into the camera. Majin says, I thought Sky Blue sounded good in their promo this past week. Julia sounds robotic too, though. I agree. I'm not saying that she doesn't, but Julia's kind of always had a little bit of a robotic sound to her ever since she took the mist to the eyes from Malakai Black. Forgot his name for a minute. When she originally joined the House of Black, she even were times then that she sounded robotic. I think Tekla needs to work with these two more, because I feel that it is a very scripted promo. Nothing against Tekla, nothing against Sky Blue, nothing against Julia Hart. I just feel that those three are using a script to make sure they hit what they need to and want to hit. And I think that Julia and Sky Blue have kind of forgotten how to let it flow and not do this. Majin says, I think Sky Blue, though, is playing off of Julia, as they know Tekla is the mouthpiece of the team. They'll chime in when they're needed. Right, and Tekla is the mouthpiece of the team, which is crazy to think, because when these two joined, Julia was the mouthpiece. When Julia joined House of Black, she started to become the mouthpiece, and then they converted Sky Blue, and Julia always talked for her and Sky. And now we've got Tekla, which is phenomenal on the microphone. So I'm not even going to say anything about that. But anyway, Collision. Collision this week. Andrade El Idolo picked up a win over Magnus, showcasing his charismatic return and hinting at a future AEW World Championship chase. Look, if they can keep Andrade in AEW, him, MJF, whether it's changing the title holder or not, I think what Andrade and MJF could do in the ring in a feud against each other would be phenomenal. I'm just saying, would be phenomenal. We saw Chris Statlander defeat Isla Dawn in an AEW Women's World Championship Eliminator match. After Stats' win, Tekla showed up backstage trashing Statlander's shirt and seemingly setting up a future confrontation, because, of course, these two are going to go at it. I'm just saying, it will happen. Willow Nightingale retained against Julia Hart, as she should. I mean, it was the day before her birthday. Why strip her of her title? And Julia is not ready for another run as TBS champion. I'm just saying, I'm a Julia Hart fan, and I say no. Majin says, Tekla is a star in every sense of the word. When she talks, you listen. As much as I love Julia, she isn't the same. I agree. And Majin, unable to control himself, finally, one of my dream teams is coming to fruition. Jamie Hayter and Alex Windsor. Yes. Yes. And talk of, speaking of Alex, talk of her partner being backstage this week, in hopes of getting cleared to get back into the ring. So let's hope we're seeing Ospreay in the ring soon again, which in my opinion, all right, I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for this. Ospreay coming back, they do not need to put him right into the title picture. We've got enough people right now in this phenomenal title picture. I'm ready for Kenny Omega MJF feud. Okay. I want to see Andrade MJF feud. I want to see Omega Andrade feuding for the title. We have, those are just three people. We have a list of people that can challenge for this title. And oh, it is the perfect time to be an AEW fan, because this is one of the few times I can say you don't need an Ospreay in there. You don't need a Hangman in there. You don't need a Swerve in the title picture. The guys that are in it right now can handle it, and they're doing just fine. Majin, you see Thunder Rosa is back on the road with AEW now too. Someone sent Mina flowers. What if it was her trying to drive a wedge in between the timeless love bombs? But they've kind of dropped. See, here's the problem. We started a storyline. We're kind of getting away from it. Where was Orange Cassidy this week? I mean, you started us this love angle with flowers, and then we drop it, and OC's gone. I mean, by the way, on Dynamite 2, I love the promo between MJF and Brody King. When MJF poked Brody in the chest, the pause he took, and the slight quiver in his voice, perfect acting. Yes, I didn't even mention that. Before I do, Majin says Orange was too busy testing his acidic levels. All right. Hopefully he passes all of his tests. Anyway, Brody MJF, man, that was phenomenal. We don't see Brody King on the mic enough. Is he a world champion player? Probably not. I think he can still do some more learning, so to speak. Not that Brody King's not phenomenal anyway. The dude is a beast. I was at Squared Circle Expo a couple years back. Brody was there. The dude was like 6 feet from me, and he started yelling at, I don't even remember who. And it wasn't like a top of my voice yell, but it was that I'm Brody King kind of yell. And dude, everybody in the room shut up. It went complete silent as soon as he started talking. Brody King's voice demands respect when he speaks. And that's all there is to it. Again, I don't think he's ready for the world title. You could put the TNT title on him. You could put the other 7 mid-card titles that AEW now has on him, and he'd be a fantastic champ. Give him a couple years, and he will be ready to be a world title guy. Majin says, see, if they made him a monster heel, I think he could be a world title guy. I think so, but again, I want to see it. I don't want to see it in 2026. We've got enough people in the title picture right now. I think this little feud with MJF is going to be perfect. It's going to tie us over until we really heat up and figure out who the true number one contender is for MJF. It's going to be Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega is going to win the championship from MJF. That's that. I'm not giving any of my predictions away other than that. Because the title of this week's episode, will Kenny Omega be the next AEW world champion? I think we can all say yes. That's just me though. Going to take a quick drink here, so bear with me. As we're talking, Brody, put the Mid-Atlantic Continental multinational title on him. Yes. Because they're all the same. And then Majin says, I mean, the national. Yeah. Majin says, MJF can do so much with just his facial expressions alone. He's such a good performer. And that's why he's the champion right now. He didn't need to be champion. But he's great as the champion. So... Too Sweet Kyle, what's up, homie? Solo pod for you tonight, I see. Yeah, Kyle, I thought everybody was going to be here. Tanner's got the Bronco Blues, so I knew he wasn't going to be here. Sounds like Shep ran into some issues on his end. So, yeah, I'm flying solo tonight, but glad to have you in the house, Kyle, part of the Main Event Wrestling Network. So, I hope you enjoy the show, what you've seen so far and what will be happening over the next few minutes here. And everybody who hasn't yet, go check out Kyle and the Main Event Wrestling Network. Mark Davis and Jack Doyle scored a tag team victory over Alex Price and Jordan Oliver, calling out FTR for future tag action. Yes. Kyle, well, I will keep that in mind. We look forward to having you on KOP here probably in the near future, even if we don't necessarily need a co-host. We might just have to get you on here because, you know, you're you. Majin says, I disagree. I think he needed to be. Oh, you think MJF needed to be champion? We've all seen their numbers and everything going down. I don't put much stock in them myself, but it's proven that MJF does get people to pay attention. Yes, this is true. MJF does get people to pay attention. And I think when the CNC connection comes back, that'll help. Right now, there's a lot of injuries. All the big names were out at one point earlier this winter, as we saw Swerve was out, Ospreay was out, Omega was out, the Bucks were gone, CNC's not around. So you really left everything down to the young talent. CNC Connection, CNC Wrestling Factory. Those people. All right. It's too much. No, I can't do. No, because it's like the CNC Music Factory. All right. I'm just saying. You made me lose my train of thought too, Majin. Bishop Dyer made his AEW debut in a dark match too. See, and again, another name that's going to help put people in seats. I'm just saying, Corbin, Bishop Dyer, Corbin, Baron Corbin, that guy, the lone wolf, whatever you want to call him, was a draw. Even when he wasn't really over, because he was one of those that it didn't matter what you gave him. He could take it and run with it and make something of it. And I think getting away from WWE has done good things for him. I'm not saying he's going to sell tickets. He's going to help sell tickets. There's a difference. MJF sells tickets. Bishop Dyer being on the card as well will help get a few tickets sold. All right. It's like, you know, Rip Ryerson Jr. being at the local Moose Lodge where I live. It helped sell some tickets. People came out to watch him get beat up, and he got thrown into a lake, and people loved it. Same thing with Bishop. That's all I'm saying. It's a local indie guy. Don't worry. He's dead now. Anyway. So, Claudio Castagnoli also retained the CML World Heavyweight Championship against Roderick Strong, as I knew he would. Okada made a surprise return on commentary. In a segment. Let's see here. The Don Callis family continued to assert themselves, hyping tag team chaos and feuds with FTR. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, glad you remember him now, Majin, because I think you're the only one. Anyway, as we look ahead, the stage is set for upcoming Dynamite episodes with storylines between Statlander and Tekla, Swerve and Andrade, and of course, we continue to see the world title picture develop further so that Kenny Omega is the number one contender and takes on MJF and takes the strap off of him. No, Majin, my back is hurting. And ironically enough, it's not just from carrying the podcast by myself tonight. It has to do with that Rip guy. He got beat up quite a lot, and somehow my body hurts because of it. So yeah, we don't talk about him too often because he makes my body hurt. But yeah, sitting in a different chair than normal. It doesn't have as much padding as the chair I normally sit in. And the back's starting to hurt from carrying the podcast. But hey, that's what happens when you're the workhorse of KOP. When you go from having the MJF schedule to being the workhorse in a matter of 3 weeks, it's an amazing thing. Majin, you said last week that it was another three-man pod, and it was absolutely rare these days. And I said, hey, it's going to be that way going forward. Look at me looking like a fool. But at least I'm still here, Majin. So we can talk about, you know, Dragon Ball, Star Wars, Deadpool, Marvel, the theories that are now going into why Robert Downey Jr. is Dr. Doom. My pants are not on the ground, Majin. They're around my waist where they belong. I'm not Rick Knox. My pants actually fit me. Thank you very much. Anyway, AEW. Lots of things going on in AEW. Yes, that is why I brought it up, Majin. Finally, going to continue the anime. Man, I am excited for this. Every time they end, I feel like it just ends on a cliffhanger, and eventually they're going to give us more, and so far, they have not failed. So hopefully this time, they don't fail either. They either wrap it up and end it for good, or they'll give us another cliffhanger. That's what they'll do. It'll be good, though. It'll be good. Can't wait. I am excited. Anyway, AEW, lots of things going on in the world of AEW. Lots of things coming down the line. I think we're going to see Statlander Tekla here very soon. Unfortunately, Tekla needs to take the title off of her. They're going to make, AEW is going to make a mistake if they let Stat continue to hold this title. She was very good in, I'm going to make a comparison here, Majin, don't yell at me for this one. She's like Cody. She was really good in the chase for the title, but has done nothing as champion. Let's just hope, you know, she doesn't drop the title and go win some crazy, 75 woman over the middle turnbuckle sideways rumble match or something. And yes, Majin, she was good as a heel on her own too. I've always kind of liked babyface Statlander, but I've liked Statlander no matter what her character has. But what they need to do, they need to pick a gimmick. They need to stick to it and let it ride. Because like you mentioned right here, Majin, when she was facing Willow and had Big Stoke, yep, Stokely Hathaway as a manager, she was better. And that ended quickly. Every gimmick they've given her has ended very quickly. They don't let her develop. They don't let her ride out anything that she comes up with, that they come up with, that anybody comes up with. Unfortunately, I hope that doesn't lead to her saying she's had about enough of this. And when her contract comes up, she heads elsewhere. I want to see her stay in AEW. I think she's done phenomenal. I think if she went anywhere else, she was going to get buried. But yeah, the alien gimmick, yeah, she did for like the first 3 or 4 years. You're right. You're right. But it was some form of it. It wasn't the original gimmick that she came in with in the very beginning. It kind of evolved and had tweaks every 6, 8, 10 months. But yeah, hopefully they can figure something out with Stat. Ooh, do you think they'll extend Anna Jay? Haven't heard anything about her since it came out her deal was ending. I hope so. I think, again, I will call her a homegrown talent. She was very green when she came to the company when they started. And 6 years later, she's still with the company. She hasn't had a chance to really do much because, again, she's another one of those. They really didn't have anything for her, or they can't figure out what they want for her. So she kind of bounces. She came in as singles, then went with we got Tay J. Then we got her in Dark Order. Then she was singles again. Then she was a heel. Then she was Tay J again. Let's find something for her. Whether it be Tay J, whether it be Anna J, I agree with you, Majin. She's improved a lot, far more than Tay has. Now, mind you, Tay took how much time off because she had a kid with that guy that's over on ROH that nobody talks about anymore because he keeps getting in trouble for running his mouth. Majin says, I think a large part of that is on the talent themselves, too, to be honest. Sat doesn't have the charisma required to hammer down a gimmick properly. I will say that is one of the downfalls of Sat. Anna Jay, on the other hand, does have a lot of charisma. But yeah, Majin, your comment popped up right as I was just getting ready to say Anna has the charisma, but she hasn't found herself yet. She kind of did. Oh, you're going to hate me because I'm not going to be able to think of her name. She's a DC character. starts with a Z. Majin, you're going to have to save me here, and you can yell at me later for this. But there we go. Zatanna, thank you. Thank you, Majin. Anna Jay had a very Zatanna-esque feel when she came in. She had the black and white, the stars, the hat, the jacket. I think that was as close to Anna Jay as we could see. You know, she bulked up a little bit, so it became Anna Jay has the best peach around. Now it's TJ. You know, I think Anna Jay needs to take about 3, 4, 5 months off. Do no TV. Just sit at home or backstage and just run through characters, bounce them off of people, bounce them off of TK, you know, off of friends, family, her husband or boyfriend or whatever. And see what she can come up with. I mean, Jack Perry's back to Jungle Jack Perry. It's not fully Jungle Boy, but it's Jungle Jack now, which is kind of what fit him the best. I think we all liked heel Jack Perry, but Jungle Jack kind of had that good feel for him. And even that version that evolved with the Bucks when they were all heels was very Jungle Jack-esque. Anna Jay needs to find that. And I think she will. Majin says that's a reason having Jericho there helped. He gave advice to plenty, Anna being one of them. Yes. And I don't think Jericho's going anywhere. I don't think we're going to see him Saturday. That's just me. I don't believe the hype. I think he's staying where he's at, and that's going to be that. Anyway, lots of talent that can still grow. We can Majin says if they had paired Anna with Jack when Jack was a heel, it could have helped her some, but it could have hindered her as well. And so I'm kind of glad they didn't do that, because I'd be afraid that she'd just be the side piece, you know, the eye candy, the Lana CJ Perry, let's say. I'd be afraid that that's what she would become. She's better than that, but I'm afraid that's what she would become. Maryse was good when she was younger. They paired her with Miz when those two started dating. Maryse stopped wrestling. It was terrible. She can't wrestle anymore. I don't want to see that happen with Anna Jay. Anna Jay's still young. She's got a bright future ahead of her. I think giving her till the summer off, we could see some amazing things come from Anna Jay. I think we'll see Kenny Omega as the next AEW World Champion. I think the Young Bucks will avoid getting titles. And I think we're all in for a really good showing of AEW in the year 2026. It is January 25th of 2026, and I think 2026 is going to be AEW's best year ever. Don't hold me to that, though. Anyway, let's wrap this thing up, shall we? Head on over to kickingoutshop.com. It is your place to go for all of the great merchandise. You can support a great podcast and look absolutely fantastic doing so. You can also go to prowrestlingtees.com, search up Kicking Out Podcast, get some very limited edition stuff there that has been since discontinued. It's the only place you can get it is by going to prowrestlingtees.com and searching up Kicking Out Podcast. Be sure to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcast, and be sure to leave us that 5-star review, because we are a 5-star KOP. Be sure to follow the Kicking Out Podcast on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to check out Main Event Wrestling Network on all social media as well, and listen to the multiple different shows they have going on We've got everything covered for your wrestling needs on the Main Event Wrestling Network. Be sure to follow all three of us on social media at TheShep27, at TannerLee92, and you can follow myself at PaulZartman87. It's on all social media, and the Kicking Out Podcast is on TikTok. So if you are on TikTok, go search up Kicking Out Podcast or at Kicking Out Pod on there as well. And with that, for my two non-existent co-hosts this week, Tanner Lee and Austin Shepherd, I'm Paul Zartman. Join us again next week as we kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.